Okay, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians 12:1, what I sense the Spirit wanting me to share for a season here is entitled Becoming All That God Intended. And what I want to talk about is it can be really confusing, and I want to draw some things together about the workings of the Spirit and the context of the body and the giftings and the callings and the anointings and the personality giftings in each one of us. I think a lot of us are hesitant to step out and be who we are in the body or to others because we don't think we're anybody. We don't think God could use us. Or we look it over there, like he says in 1 Corinthians 12 later, he says, you know, can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of you? And we say, well, gosh, you know, I'm just kind of a lowly foot. You know, I mean, here's those people of the eyes and they're way up there in the head, and I'm a nobody. And I think the problem is we don't understand that every single part of the body is needful and essential, and God has ordained for you. God has called you, you who are listening to me right now, God has a specific purpose and calling for you in your life in the body of Christ. And in the context of his kingdom, he has it. And it may never be what I'm doing, okay, ever. I mean, it's not a spot, it's gonna, but I may never do what you're doing, ever. Because the hand will never do what the foot does. Or the ear was never meant to function like the nose, okay? So where you are who you are, and so the teaching night is becoming all that God intended. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So how y'all versions read? You know, the literal rendering in the Greek is now concerning spirituals. I would not have you ignorant. The problem is there's a lot of ignorance and confusion in the land concerning the gifts of the Spirit. People either believe they're not for today. A lot of people believe the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, which is really sad. Or they tend to focus on it totally. You ever been at a church where the whole focus was the gifts? You know, the prophetic, that's kind of been the new thing the last couple of decades. Or tongues. Or it's all gifts. Okay, either so they don't have them, or there's too much of them. Out of focus, out of balance. Well, what I want to do is discover the balance. So look at verse 4. Now, diversities is gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations or ministries, but the same Lord. And diversities of operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, what I want to clarify tonight, I'm going to do something on the overhead to make this really clear. I'm going to take a few liberties and restructure some things so they're easy to understand. But I want us to understand there's three subtle substantive distinctions here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 6. He talks about the gifts, the ministries, and the operations. Charisma, diakonios, and energema. Gifts, ministries, and operations. In other words, what he's saying is God ministers in the body through different gifts, through different ministries, and through different methodologies, okay? It's like a body. You know, the human body is not a simple organism. Can you hear me? It's not a simple cell organism. It's a complex organism. It's designed to do many things. It's designed to has a system in it to protect itself, an immune system. Has aggressive cells, or is it blood cells, that can attack invaders. It has all kinds of, and that's how the body of Christ is structured. There's operations and ministries and offices. The one thing I want to really clear up tonight, and this is where I'm going to take a few liberties with the word. It's clear in the word, but I've kind of sectioned it. I'm going to give three labels so for easy to understand, is the understand the sense of giftings. And bear with me here. First, I want to talk about the manifestation gift. There are three M's, manifestation, ministry, and motivational. Okay? So first we're going to look at the manifestation giftings. Now what I mean by the manifestation giftings is the supernatural anointings of the Holy Ghost. That's when God comes with the power of the Holy Ghost supernaturally and moves in a gift. And you know what gifts he's referring to? Right here in verse 8. He talks about 9 of them. For the ones that are given to the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation. Folks, he's talking about gracelets or momentary anointings. These are manifestations of the Spirit of God, supernatural manifestations, these 9 gifts. Now, not long ago, about 2 years ago, I did teaching on each one of these, okay? It really warrants a significant teaching on each one of these, how these different gifts manifest. And all of them you see in the life of Jesus Christ, except speaking in tongues. He didn't speak in tongues, but he spoke about it. But you see in the book of Acts. But you see, the gifts manifest, and there was supernatural anointing that came on Jesus at certain times and certain places to accomplish certain things. And other times it wasn't on Jesus. Sometimes those anointings were not. There was a place where it says, and Jesus was a certain place, and the Spirit of the Lord was there to heal. In other words, there's a special anointing in a context to heal. There was another place when he went to his hometown. It says, and the Lord could not heal because of the unbelief except a few sick folk. So Jesus, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. Jesus operated under the same unction we did. And he was limited by the movement of the Holy Spirit in any context. And he manifested the gifts. And it's really good that the Corinthian church had this out of whack. It really is. Because they had it out of whack, Paul had to write and bring it in whack. Would that be in whack as opposed to out of whack? He had to... Huh? He had to bring it in whack. Whatever was out of whack, he'd bring it back in whack. All right. Quack. And he had to... And what he did, he said, look, the move of the Spirit is in nine channels, as it were. Out of your belly will flow rivers, has nine channels. So he differentiated the various gifts of the Spirit. He says there's a gift of faith. You see that in Jesus Christ. He said, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And it, whatever you believe, how many of y'all know that's an anointing? There's a word of wisdom. Jesus, you know, they would come to Jesus craftily and ask all these questions, try to trick him. You know, we caught this woman in adultery. And Moses said, we ought to stone her. What do you say? And Jesus was scratching on the ground. I think he was listening to his father. And he got a word of wisdom. He says, well, okay. He that's without sin cast the first stone. All the time they came, we know how to get him. We're commanded to pay taxes to Caesar. Is it lawful to pay taxes? We got him with that one. So Jesus said, well, give me a penny, a tribune penny. And he said, well, whose picture is on it? Caesar. He says, well, give to Caesar what Caesar got. He had a word of, he had words of knowledge. He could say things and he knew things that people, no way they could have known. As a woman at the well. He said, you've had, what is it, four husbands or five husbands? And the guy that you live with now, you're not even married to. She says, whoa. He did that all the time. He said, when you guys go to this village, you'll see a guy carrying a water pot on his head. Follow him. He'll take you to the house. We're going to have my supper. The Passover meal. Christ did that all the time. Peter, you need to pay taxes, no problem. Take your fishing hook, go on down to the water. First fish you catch, open its mouth, and you'll not only find a coin, you'll find enough taxes for you and me. Jesus moved in the supernatural. Amen? The miraculous, the supernatural, he walked on water. He moved in the prophetic. He moved in the all of these different gifts. So these are momentary anointings. I've experienced these. You've experienced these. We all experience these. You may not realize, that's what I love about teaching about the gifts, is you and I experience the gifts all the time. We just don't recognize it. You're moving along, doing something with your family, your kid, your job in the world, and something happens, and it's so, if you're a spirit-filled believer, you walk with the Lord any length of time, and you love Jesus, you are moving in the gifts. You don't even realize it. Am I right? Have you been in situations and dynamics and confrontations, and suddenly you just kind of knew what to do? Kind of, you know, and just, you got a clarity, you got a perspective, you got a discernment. How about you walked into a situation, you just get a bad, queasy feeling, you just don't feel like you want to have, that's discernment, that's a gift. So the first gifts we want to talk about is manifestation. They're manifestations of the Holy Ghost. They're momentary anointings for momentary needs. They come up in the context of a need. The best way I've ever heard it described is the pipe wrench analogy. You know, let's say you're at your sink and you have a leaking, faucet, your sink. So you crawl up under the sink, and sure enough, it's leaking. So you hold your hand out, and instantly you have a wrench in your hand, appeared out of nowhere. Whoa. So you tighten it up, and it's gone. It was a tool appropriate to the moment to accomplish the need. That's exactly what the gifts are. They're a tool for the moment to accomplish the need. They do. It's sort of like most of us bumble around like Clark Kent most of the time, right? Once in a while, there's a need, so we go into the phone booth of faith, and bah, we can leap the highest mountain, go faster than a speeding bullet. Right. And then, after you've defeated the villain, you're back to bumbling Clark Kent. I've had people sometimes, I go out of town, people say, particularly up at the Hot Springs Ministry, people come up and say, oh, Brother Simpson, can you discern the demons in me? I mean, this happened not long ago. I wish some of y'all would come up and ask me that. Well, now that you say, but they'll just, I don't know, I'm from Jack, you know, can you discern the demons in me? It's because, well, it's because they know I've been in deliverance for years, and I'll say, and truthfully, I'm saying, I don't carry that gift around. Now, it's possible, but it's very possible, I usually don't. I go, well, no, I don't know you. What I ask you is, who's your pastor? That's the one you need to ask, you know what I mean? Pastor probably discerns them all day long. Or ask your wife, although she may not share it with all the grace of God. Okay, that's the first. Now, folks, I'm going to talk about this. Three different types of giftings. It's look at the second in 12:28. The second type of giftings is ministry giftings. I want to make this clear. The MMM, Manifestation, Ministry, and Motivational. The first is the supernatural manifestation spirit. The second is ministry giftings, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. Look at this. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Now, he's talking here about specific ministries that not everybody has. Look at the next verse. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all... In other words, it's obvious by the rhetorical question what he's asking is, no, obviously everybody is not, has a ministry. Now listen, the difference with the manifestation gifts, God can move in any one of us supernaturally at any time according to his will. You understand? But the ministry gifts, not everybody's going to be a teacher. Not everybody's going to be an apostle. Not everybody's going to have the gifts, certain types of gifts of healing. Now, God can move through any one of us with healing, but certain people have gifts of healing. It's a special anointing for healing. Kind of an inbred, I don't know what it is, but some people just have a knack for it. When I've been in really larger churches in my walk in the past, I remember a church we did, we had a guy who had a thing about the ability to pray for teeth, and people would invariably get healed. In fact, he came here for a while. Remember Bob West, some of y'all? Bob West was the one, I believe. He had a gift and a knack for praying for teeth. And there was somebody else that had a thing for backs. It was just a gift of healing. So when you had that particular ailment, you went to that particular person, and in certain contexts, if the anointing was there, there was a greater success with that one than others. But again, we're talking about the ministry gifts. Here's another verse that applies to the same thing, Ephesians 4:11. We're talking about what I call equippings, callings, and offices. Not everybody shares these. Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, Ephesians 4:11, for the perfecting of the saints' work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what he's saying is, look, not everybody's going to be a teacher, or a pastor, an apostle, or a prophet. That's just, you know, it would be like, that would be saying a body is nothing but feet sticking out all over it. It's nothing but eyeballs, you know. Or it's gotten 30 hands, like one of those weird Indian gods, you know, hands everywhere. No. It's ministry gifts, equippings, and callings. These are certain giftings God grants to certain ones. It's your life's calling. Now, we're going to see in a minute, the third, the motivational, they kind of tie together. But I believe not everyone necessarily falls into a ministry gifting. Some people come into the equipping giftings, and some don't. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, God has set everyone in the body as it has pleased him. God has set you to exactly as it pleased him. God does not want you to envy and look around and wish you were somebody other than you. The teaching today is becoming all that God intended, meaning for you. So many people aspire to be something they're not, and they spend years striving, and God's not going to let you be anything. He's just, you're not going to be what you aren't. You're okay to be who you are. Now, the last is Romans 12:6. Now we're going to talk about the motivational giftings. So again, we talk about three. The manifestation giftings. I remember that's the nine gifts of the Spirit, momentary anointings. Then we talk about the ministry giftings. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. Those are the offices and callings. And you know, you can see those giftings even in this body. There are certain ones, and I'm going to show you in a minute on the overhead, there's actually a percentage. They've done studies that in the average church, certain percentages tend to, on a kind of a general basis, there tends to be a certain percentage for each of these offices. There are certain people in this little body have the gift of teaching. There are certain people have a remarkable gift of administration. There are certain people have the gift of rulership or authority as to be a pastor. And there are others have pastoral giftings. There are certain people here that have giftings in other venues of the kingdom of God. Amen? And my role, according to Ephesians 4, the equipping of the saints, my role and the leadership's role is to recognize and release you in the gifting that God is raising you up in. Amen? To wait till there's a maturity and then to release you in that gifting. For instance, I'm going to announce this Sunday, but I'll give you a pre-up on it. My wife graciously took over Christian Ed after Darlene felt it was time for her to move on about a year ago. Well, Sherry picked it up for a whole year. Well, Sherry had previously done it for 12 years. We even gave her a little plaque. Okay? She was retired from Christian Ed leadership. Well, Darlene left. Guess who it fell on? So Sherry did it for a year. Well, we've been talking for some time and praying about who should do it. And it became obvious to Sherry and me over time the perfect person to do it. So, Jenny, you ready to take it on? No, I'm kidding. No, Linda Everett. Yes, Linda Everett. Linda Everett is going to be our new Christian Ed. And she moved in with us, and I, you know, when you live with somebody, you get to know them. And Linda has just a remarkable, and I'm glad she's not here. She's a nurse, and they work crazy nurse hours. But she has a really remarkable maturity about her in dealing with people. I've seen that. I live with her. You know, I mean, look at her son. Brian, she's such a gift with Brian. I'm serious. Isn't she? You have a remarkable mom. And I'm really blessed with the Lord. And Linda prayed about it. And I really love her integrity. And she's decided to take on the role. Amen. And I'm excited about that. She got a heart for it. Well, you know, my job in the context of others too, my wife's got some good antenna out there. She's good at, you know, sensing things. And any wise pastor will run things by his wife. You know, what are you feeling about this? Women particularly have a sense of discernment more than guys do. Yeah, I can remember back in the early years, some years ago, not too many years ago, but somebody come into the church. You know, and my wife would go, I don't know about them. Well, give them a break. You know, I'm just taking up for them. And I think God makes it that way with guys. A little more dense, you know, and a little more, pastors need to be with wide open arms. But my wife, from the get-go, I don't know, I'm feeling something. I go, well, you know, don't worry about it. It's fine, you know. But I've noticed that if she doesn't quit feeling it after a period of time, I need to start paying attention. Y'all know that's biblical for the wife to sense something. Y'all remember Pilate? You know what happened right before he sentenced Jesus to die? Anybody? Pilate's wife had a dream. And she came and said, have nothing to do with that just man. I think that's the wording. For I've suffered many things in the dream because of him. She knew he was just. I think he did too. Remember he tried to release him. And he finally washed his hands with water. I mean, you know, and he said, okay, it was political expediency. You know, greater punishment for that, folks. Okay, so we see first the manifestation gifts and the ministry gifts, okay? Office and call. Now we're going to look at the third thing, motivational gifts. And this we're going to focus on tonight. This is really cool. Romans 12:6. Three types of gifts, manifestation, ministry, now motivational. Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us. Now he's talking about each one of us. Folks, I believe these are inbred in your personality. Every one of us, because of the personality God has given you, tends to fall, I believe, generally into one of these categories. Gifts differing according to whether prophecy, let's prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let's wait on ministry, that really means service. Or he that teaches on teaching. He that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives or imparts, let him do it with simplicity or liberally. He that rules with diligence. And he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Folks, he just outlined seven ministry gifts, motivational gifts. In fact, each of these, I believe, tie into the personality. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12:7 I want to make one other point before I go any further with that. I want to look at this. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Let's go back to the manifestation. But the manifestation of the Spirit is to give every man profit with all. First, I want to say this. All of the giftings are not for private benefit. I want to make that clear. Whatever the gifting, whether it's a supernatural gifting, whether it's a motivational gifting, whether it's a ministry given, it's not for private. This is what separates us from the occult and spiritualism. That all of the phenomena and gifting of your life is not for you. You know, I'm not believing this, but I, as a working for the company I do, I often go through Monster. Y'all know what Monster.com is? Monster.com, believe it or not, is a very large resume service where you can put your resume on and try to get a job. Well, I look at it from the employer side because I'm looking to draw people into the business I'm in. So I look at every day now, I'm looking on Monster, and I'll look at maybe 100 resumes a day. I just it's a zip code thing. And you wouldn't believe the resumes people put in that thing. It's just sad. I mean, just, you know, can you imagine totally misspelling everything? I mean, you know, run on, just, you know, they want to work accounting. Just, anyway, it's sad. But there's some really good resumes, but anybody can put their resume on. Well, the other day, I'm moving on, and I see this resume. Woman's name is Psychotic Reader. I said, oh, my God. I'm serious. Psychotic Reader. So I thought, no, did I say psychic? I mean psychic. Did I say psychotic? Psychic. It probably is a, I'm sorry, it said psychic reader. It was P-S-Y-C, alright. And I went, I gotta look at this resume. I pulled it up, linked onto it. My God, she read tarot cards, she talked about, I mean, it's a resume, you know, all the places she'd been, all the people she ministered to, and demonized, all of the, and then she gave examples of how she would read and things would come to pass and everything. I thought, man, what employer is out there looking for a psychic? Weather forecast. Oh, Lord. Stop, Mark. Yeah. You ever hear about when two psychics go out on a date with each other? Well, never mind. This. Okay. That's a stupid joke. Folks, the gifts of the Spirit are totally opposite the occult. You know the word occult means is hidden. It's self. The thing of the kingdom. Listen, it's totally different. And that's why giftings, it says, Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. It's all about love. You want to hear something interesting? 1 Corinthians 12, listen to me now, 12 is about the gifts and the body. 1 Corinthians 14 is about the body and the gifts. What's 1 Corinthians 13 about? Why did he sandwich the love chapter between 12 and 14? Because it's when the proper motivation is love and giving, faith works by love. It's all about God gives us gifts. As we give it out, they are increased. You understand? They're not for self. They're none of them for self. As soon as someone takes their giftings and makes merchandise of it, it's a curse. And I grieve, and I'm scared for some of these big-time evangelists. I mean, it's sad. I read an editorial recently. They went to some public access information that's in the domain that you can access, that all of the major preachers today that don't pastor churches, their salaries are totally public. If you don't pastor a church. Now, Benny Hinn pastors a church, ostensibly. So does, what's that one? Creflo Dollar. But a lot of these others, Joyce Meyer, a lot of these, they don't have so you can find out everything there is about their income. It's all out there legitimately. And it's, this guy, Delaney, it's astonishing the amount of money these people are pulling in. Millions and millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars off the backs. And a lot of these ministries will put out orphanages. And I went on some of these websites. They'll all have the, you know, they always have their token orphanages of poor people. So you give. And I'm telling you what, there's going to be a day coming. I mean, what a travesty. What a sin of the money. What they're doing, folks, are taking their giftings. These are anointed people. And they use it to what? Build up their own, feather their nest to build up their wealth through the system. It's sickening. There's a day of reckoning. 2 Peter 1 talks about they will make merchandise of you. I remember Christ going into the Father's temple. You know, he was mad about not only because he said the thieves and robbers, they were cheating God's people. They were sitting there. People would come in wanting to offer to God, and they would cheat them, or they'd make money off of them, but because they just wanted a little lamb, a few turtle doves, and they would use the fact that they were way away from home, kind of like with the market bears, you know. Sorry, you know. Sort of like buying ice after a hurricane went through, or buying a gasoline. You know, the market. So that's what they were doing. And Jesus said, you thieves, can you imagine what's going to happen on Judgment Day? I think in the other day, there's a scripture that says you can go to hell by calling your brother a fool. Did you know that? You can go to hell! He said in Matthew 5, by you're in danger of hellfire by calling your brother. But just calling a brother a fool, meaning what you mean, you've denigrated and hated, you can go to hell. How much more when you've treated people like fools? I mean, I'll tell you what. We need to be praying for these people, for their soul. Pray for their soul. I'm actually having compassion. I'm saying, Lord, have mercy on these multimillionaires that use God, because it's all going to turn to rust and when Jesus comes again. Oh, I tell you what, how many are going to, I don't know. I don't know. Scary stuff. But folks, the bottom line is it's all about, look at 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. David Wilkerson just put out his newest newsletter. I love David Wilkerson. I don't agree with everything, but I tell you what, fundamentally, he's a prophetic guy if ever there was one. And they just put out a newsletter. I just got it in the mail today. I wasn't able to read the whole thing. Do you get that, James? But he really lambasted. He says, at the point now, a lot of these Word Faith Prosperity guys are going on and on about how Jesus was wealthy. And they're going to these, they say Jesus was wealthy. He picked up kind of the very wealthy elite of local businessmen, you know, and I mean, it goes on and on. And, anyway. Okay. I mean, the fact that he had a robe that they wanted to gamble with meant it was a very exquisite, expensive robe. They really stretched this thing. Okay. Yeah. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, folks, here's the thing. Every believer, I believe, has a motivational gift. Every believer has a gift in the context of their personality. Okay, there's a gifting in the context of who you are. One of the things, there's an error in the body of Christ, and it really was propagated by Peter Wagner. I think he wrote a book called Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts. It became very popular. And what he did, I remember actually sitting under his teaching in South down Argentina when he went to this different places. But he basically took all the gifts and lumped them into one thing. He took the motivational gifts for Romans 12. He took the nine gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. And he took the office, lumped them all. He said, you're supposed to find your spiritual gift. And they had this questionnaire you'd work through. Okay. And I remember that it was big at Redeemer years back too, something along that line, people discovering their spiritual gifts. And it was just really smacked of psychology to me. And so the Lord has been gracious to reveal over the years, sitting under Balance Ministry, understand that's not all the way the Holy Ghost, he differentiates. Like I said, there's supernatural giftings that God uses and manifests according to his will in certain contexts. There's offices of the Spirit that you have to be matured into. You don't just stumble into apostolic ministry, okay? You don't just kind of get saved and suddenly you're a prophet. Now, there are some out there get saved and suddenly they're a prophet. What was that you telling me the other day? You going to see Brother Bill Null. He's in town a few weeks. And Seth called the pastor and said, the pastor said, yeah, and you stick around. We're going to have us a prophet that's going to come minister to everybody. Well, I don't have any problem with a prophetess coming. I really don't. But my suspicion is, if it's anything according to my experience, which is limited, a lot of them tend to be not submitted to the proper authority. And the other problem I have is just because a prophetess or a prophet is in town, therefore you're going to get a word. Because they're there, come on up, I'll give you a word. Well, that sounds like a soul to me. How do you know the Holy Ghost has a word for them? Amen? Anyway, that's neither. Okay, so every believer's motivation, it's responsibility of the leadership to recognize and release. Now let's look back at the motivational gifts again. Turn back to Romans 12:6. I want to focus on this for the remainder of the teaching. Is it clear now tonight the three types of giftings? The manifestation giftings, the office or ministry giftings, and the motivational. So we're going to focus on the motivational. Romans 12:6 to 8. Again, let's go through these because I really believe everybody that hears my voice, somewhere, somehow you fall into one of these or into a subcategory of one of these. Romans 12:6. Having the gifts differing according to the grace given us, whether prophecy, let's prophesy according to the fortune of faith, or ministry, whether in our ministry, he that teaches, or he that exhorts in exhortation, he that gives with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, and he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, if my sound guy would graciously do our overhead. No? Yes. Hit play. Let's hear it for the sound guy. Cool. It takes a certain gifting. That's a gifting. That's the PowerPoint gifting. Okay, here, folks, I delineated it. Prophecy, interesting enough, there's seven. Ministry or service, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, and the gift of compassion. Now, look at Romans 12. Just leave it up there, brother. Look at Romans 12, 4. This is really interesting. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same body, office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members another. You know what he's saying? He's talking about your human body. He says your body has many members. You've got arms, legs, right, ears, nose, and every member doesn't have the same office. Now, Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. He says, so is the body of Christ. He's saying it's exactly the same thing in the body of Christ. There's some people with arms or hands and feet and ears and nose. So he precedes, listen, the motivational gifts with comparing the human body to the body of Christ. What's interesting is he did the same thing in 1 Corinthians 12 in the context of the manifestation gifts. Now, since gifting is tied to the body, I want to think about this in a sevenfold way, in a picturesque way. You ready, sound guy? Next. Even now. All right. Here we have the same sevenfold giftings. I really believe the prophecy would be someone like the perceiver, and that might speak. I'm sorry, that shouldn't be heart. That word should be eyes. Eye. So that's an error. Prophecy, perceiver, that's the eye of the body, the ability to, you know, in the Old Testament, you know they call prophets? Seers, okay? The ministry, the server, a gift like the hands, a teacher, uses the mind, the exhorter, encourager, the mouth, the giver, like the arms, the ruler, administrator, like the shoulder, and compassion, the gift of compassion, like the heart. No. I can print it out, but that's the reason I have it on overhead. Now, I'd be glad to print it out if you'd like. Yes. $29.95. We'll connect it to your DVD tonight, folks, for $19.95. No, five easy payments of $19.95. I love that. Now, if you call the next 10 minutes. Okay. Okay. All right. Turn to, leave it up there, 1 Peter 4:10. Turn back there. Y'all aren't very religious and spiritual around here, man. People are really getting into this and sitting there, and then they hear these comments from the peanut gallery. They go, what kind of church that guy pastor anyway? Yeah, a bunch of, man, they're not very religious. Of course, he's not very religious. All right, it's 1 Peter 4:10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, for that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Now, folks, this is fascinating. He basically, in these two verses, breaks the categories down into speaking and serving. Because he says, in verse 10, if anyone minister or serve as good stewards and then speak. In verse 10, he's talking about serving. In verse 11, he's talking about speaking. And I really believe what's interesting is you can break these down. Now, this is why I said bear with me, because I'm going to take a little bit of liberties. I'm breaking these into categories you can understand. That I believe in the motivational gifting, there are certain giftings that involve service, and there are certain giftings that involve speaking. All right? Two basic categories. Overhead, next overhead. Break it down. There it is. The speech tends to be this teacher, the mind, the prophecy, perceiver. Oh, that's hard again. That ought to be eyes. Sorry. Exhorter, encourager, ruler, and service. The shoulder, the giver, the arms, the ministry, the hands, and compassion, the heart. Now, what's interesting here is I did some study on this, and there's been a lot of serious analysis. I did this some years ago. And there was a study made over several years of many, many churches of small, medium, and large. And interestingly enough, this was fascinating. They found that the percentages tended to fall, no matter how big the church was, the percentages tended to fall consist on these numbers in these categories. Isn't that amazing? There tends to be in any church, of a church of 1,000, 500, 100 or 50 tend to be about 6% tend to have the gifting of teaching. In fact, if you took the particular people in our body that tend to have that gifting, okay, compare it, it'll be, fall out about to that number. Prophecy, which again is eyes, perceiver, tends to be about 12%. People that have a tendency to have a prophetic gifting, doesn't mean they're prophets, but they have a prophetic gifting. They have an ability to see in the spirit. They see things and they get dreams. Every church needs a prophetic. Every pastor needs a prophetic around him to encourage, because I see the prophetic is not to lead the church, but to confirm what the Lord is saying. Amen? And interesting enough, about 10, 12%, and again, there are certain people in this body that have giftings in that area, and if you took them, some a little more dormant than the others. Some of y'all may have their giftings you've been passive about. You're not being faithful. You know, it's real clear in Corinthians about how you need to be who you are. You're withholding from the body when you're not being who you are. The body suffers. You know, if you have a gifting, the gifting is not the guy up front. The gifting is in the body. The body needs one another, just as the human body. You know? And if they may be that the Lord's been giving you dreams, I always tell people, if you get dreams or get impressions or words from the Lord, you know, come and share with me or someone in authority. Let's test it. It says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Despise not prophesying. 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay? Then we have exhorter. Interesting enough, you tend to have about 15, 16% people tend to have just the kind of people that can get up and just get behind the pulpit. They don't necessarily go to scripture, but it just comes out of their spirit. You know what I'm talking about? They just feel a real burden. They're just kind of exhorting everybody to, we need to this, and we need to that, and we need to repent. We need, amen? About 15% of the body tends to people with exhortation gifts. And you know, I need to have, as a leadership of this church, provide an environment for you to exhort. And you know, the pulpit, the mic is always open in any service for anybody if you come up. If the Lord gives you a word, Lord gives you an exhortation, you know, he says that in 1 Corinthians 14. If any of you has a psalm, or if you, you know that when you come together, offer the gifting you have. Like Jenny, you had a word tonight. Jenny has a prophetic gifting in her life, and sure enough, at the end when we were still, the Lord quickened something. She got up and shared it. It was a prophetic type word. I'm coming sooner than you believe. I believe that. I've been hearing that forever though, but I believe it. I can't wait. All right. Then service, ruler, administrator. Look, about shoulder. People that tend to have the gifting of administrator. I know, I think of Bo. Bo has an excellent gifting of administrator. Thank God for Mr. Bo. But he's not, there are certain percentages of people here that have that gift. It's just you tend, I know Randy's a good administrator over what he does. A good organizer. You know, tend to give him an invite. They can organize it, section it out, and allocate and delegate and properly administrate ministries and these types of things. I think Linda is a real good administrator. An administrator that's really good understands delegation. I think Bo has the delegation thing down really good. I'll say, Bo, I need to get this done. He says, it will be done. I'll say, I need you to do it. He says, it will be done. Right? Because he's a good delegate. That's okay. Amen? I've learned to delegate. All right, then you have giver. Arms, they tap 5 or 6% tends to be givers. I was sitting there thinking, well, how come that's not higher? Now listen, what that means is there's actually, everybody's called to give. Would you agree? Everybody's called to tithe and offer. But when he's talking about someone's who ministry, it's like that's the gifting. And I really believe it's often people that God abundantly blesses in the world. He abundantly blesses them with provision. In fact, there's a scripture that talks about, I shall abundantly bless them with, you know the one I'm talking about? It's in the Psalms. It's right here on the right side, on the bottom left, right? I'm moving to it even as I speak. Dun, 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 dun. There it is. I will, Psalm 132:15. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I really believe God abundantly blesses certain people so they can provide, underwrite the expenses of a ministry. Amen? Every church I've been in, all the way back 35-something years, there's always been certain ones that God has gifted. It's just a gifting in the business world. You know? There's nothing wrong with making money at all. As long as money don't make you. Nothing wrong with having money, the lower money have you. But he says to have to give. Ephesians 4 says, he that stole, steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands that he may have to give, that him that needs. God blesses us so we can give. And certain people have the gift of giving. It's just they have, and it's interesting, the more they give, the more they get. I mean, you can't outgive God. And what's a travesty is these prosperity teachers have taken that one truth, inflamed it, and made it the whole gospel. Every meeting is focused on that. And that's out of balance. But, you know, nevertheless, it's true. There's a level of truth to it. You can't outgive the Lord, particularly when you give to the poor. You know, the scripture says God will not be a debtor to you. In the Proverbs, I found out it has to do with giving to the poor. I shared about that the other day. You know, up your offerings, up your tips. I came up down the street. I was driving here tonight, and I stopped at the red light on Southmore where it turns over to Shaver. In front of Walgreens. I was sitting there, and this lady walks by, and I recognized her. She's been working down at that Whataburger or whatever a few blocks down towards the mall. And I've seen her in there over the years. And I think she's slightly retarded, if you've seen her. And she was walking down the street just smiling and carrying stuff. And I saw that poor lady. I realized she walked all that way. Fortunately, it was kind of a balmy night. It wasn't cold. I realized, I don't know where she lives. She probably doesn't have hardly any money, makes minimum wage. She's a faithful worker back there, you know, on that. And as I was sitting there, I said, the thought came to my mind, Lord, provide me an opportunity to love that woman. I don't believe that I need to just go up and hand money out of the car. But I asked the Lord, provide me an opportunity to be of service to her. Can I amen? God loves it when we give to the poor. When we care for somebody like that. You know, I never thought about giving a tip to someone at Burger King. But why not? Amen? So, I mean, I'm really excited. God's going to show me Psalm 41 is an incredible passage about this. God will heal you of your sickness. He will make your bed. I mean, he will provide. Look, read that. It has to do with giving to the poor. You really touch the heart of God. I'm keeping work because I can sense a sermon coming eventually on this. But I've never been excited about giving to the poor before, except I'm getting the revelation in the Word. God's not going to. Dude, that's the best investment there is. Like I said, better than the Legg Mason Partner aggressive growth portfolio that we recommend to our clients. Averages of 10, 12, even 14% over a 15-year period. Hey, given to the poor, the return far exceeds that in every way. Amen? In this world and the world to come. What's the next one? Ministry, server. I'm glad that's got a high number. 15, 17% tend to have the gift of just serving. And praise the Lord, again, anybody, they said up to 1,000, any whatever number in the church, the numbers tend to fall out. About 17, between 15 and 20%. You have people that just love to serve. They're the first ones to grab a mop, do the dishes. Now some of y'all are saying, oh, cool. You mean I don't have to serve anymore? The 17% will handle it. I'm the giver. I can sit back and be served. Hello, you're missing it. Folks, we're all called to give. We're all called to serve. You understand? We're all called to exhort. I'm talking about specific anointed giftings that you model. It's kind of who you are. It's your reward, where you're reward. And then finally, compassion. Look at this, 30%. 30%. One out of three people in the church. It's just the gifting. But Paul says, in fact, look what Peter says about hospitality. Did you ever see that? Was it 1 Peter? Is it James? Yeah, 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. 1 Peter 4:9. And I was thinking, the ones with the gift don't grudge. Use hospitality without. Yeah, but he says in Hebrews 13, some entertain angels unawares. But use hospitality without grudging. One with a gift of compassion, but they have no problem opening their home or their possessions to the needy. It's just part of their heart. Some people resent it. You know, they resent having to part or open space in their life. But I think, thank the Lord, that one out of three people, God really gives a heart in the body of Christ. And it's really, notice, that's the heart. Thank God for the people who had the gift of hospitality when I went to community back in the 70s. I was able to move in and live with families, become part of the family. And I've never lost that vision. And I have that vision too. I have a heart for that. I like having my home filled with people. You know, I, as far as I'm concerned, that's the way I want to live the rest of my life, is an environment of community, of compassion, of reaching out, of laying down my life 24/7 being available. That's the heart of the Lord. Any questions on this so far? Let's draw this to a conclusion. So let's reiterate, folks. There are three times of giftings. First, the nine gifts of the Spirit, I call those the manifestation gifts. Second, the ministry gifts or the offices, right? Evangelical, prophetic. Now these gifts are equipping gifts, offices that God sets you in, prophetic, apostolic, teaching, where they tend to be certain gifts to equip. Because according to their gifts you have, and God wants you to have it, to give and to train and disciple others to be raised up. Amen? That's different than motivational gifts, because the equipping gifts, you have embryonic teachings, teachers, you have embryonic people with a pastoral gift. And it's my role is to see those things raised up. I really believe Mr. James over here has a pastoral gift. If you don't submit to him, he'll step on you. But I can see a pastoral gift in James. Why? Because James and those who are under James, particularly James, I'm not saying that ain't true with others, but James has such a heart for his people. I mean, he'll call me. He just has a heart. He grieves. He's willing to give any time to, and I can recognize the gifting. Amen. God's raising him up. Praise God. And so God's blessed him. And there are at least five different people in church that have a heart, have that pastoral gift. Five, maybe. What's the percentage on that? Well, that's kind of a pastoral. Actually, there are percentage breakdowns. I don't have those tonight on the fivefold giftings. There are. And interestingly enough, the evangelical tends to be 10%. I remember that correctly. One out of 10 people in a church tend to have a passion for the lost. You know, it's a real mistake for a church to have a total focus on evangelism. And it's a real mistake for a church to have a total focus on community. It's not right. You need to provide whatever for each person to manifest their particular passion. Amen? Whatever their outreach. Otherwise, people are trying to be something that they're intrinsically not. That's not who God has called them to be. So it's the role of the church to provide the venue for people. But I do believe there are things we all need to do. We need to love the poor. We need to reach out. We need to serve and give. Yes, do all the basic things for the kingdom. Jesus said, you know, when I come back, you're going to be judged whether or not you went and visited the sick, went into the prison, clothed those who were naked. Whatever you did to these, you did to me. But there are certain people, though, have a particular anointing in that area that are modeled for the rest of us. Now, two more places to conclude. Luke 16:10. I have a couple of teachings for now. I'm putting something together. I'm really excited about this. It's going to be a really cool handout. And it will go into incredible depth to identify the characteristics of each of these motivational gifts so that you can really be, this is truly discovering the gift you have, but the context of your personality gifting. So you can, number one, it'll release you from trying to be something you're not. And it'll set you free to be who you are. Luke 16:10, basic principle, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? Isn't Jesus interesting? He says, if you've not been faithful with money, who's going to give you the real riches? Boy, I'd like to be able to quote that to some of these clowns, the big money stuff. You can turn that off, Mr. Speaker. He says, and if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Folks, I really believe that the key is to be faithful with what you have. Okay, when you come to Christ, there are certain giftings that are evident in your personality right from the get-go. First of all, the motivational giftings. Your personality. When I first came to Christ, I was an extrovert evangelistic fanatic. Okay, had no idea how to teaching gift. But I really loved to evangelize. On the streets, preaching, go down to the gay bars on Halloween night, preach to them, tell them they're going to hell, all kind of stuff. I was in a, one time I was in, right outside of Destin, Florida, with some people who were doing these traveling back in the early 70s, going to these full gospel businessman meetings. We're staying at this beach house. And I remember on the way back from lunch one day, I noticed there was this bar where all these bikers and cars were. So that evening, a bar to car, I went to the bar, stood out in the parking lot, and just started preaching at the bar. And all these people came up. About 20, 30 people came standing out. Again, you know, leaning back to the beer, you know, laughing at the preacher. And I'm just standing there out in the parking lot preaching Jesus. Be saved, you know, repent. I forget what. I never forget, really grieved me. Finally, somebody sidled up to me with a piece of paper and went back into the crowd. So I opened it up, and it said, I'm a believer, you're embarrassing us. So you know what I said? I said, somebody just gave me a piece of paper, and I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, but anyway, I was pretty fanatic. Okay. By the time I took my bicycle into a park in Beaumont, all these gangs out there, and I didn't know there were gangs till later. Got up on one of those concrete tables, stood out there and just started preaching the gospel in every direction. And I really, you know, the Bible says to go in twos. You know, I thank God for the angels, amen. Because I was out there alone. Nobody in my church knew where I was that Saturday afternoon. I was just out there preaching my heart out on that concrete table. And I never forget. I mean, the Holy Ghost fell in that whole area of the park. I was preaching the gospel. And one of the dudes backed up. He backed up to the bench like this. And he said, hey. He said, can I give you a piece of advice? Let's slow down. He said, you really want to get on your bike and leave, man. And you could see it was the demons, you know. They were just, but you know what? When you're out there preaching, there's angels around you, dude. I tell you, there are angels. So what I decided was to slowly begin to wrap up the sermon, you know. And I finished it, and I got on my bike, tooled myself out of there. Praise God. But you know, I believe as I was faithful with the gifting of evangelism, God matured me into a gifting that my true gifting calling was teaching and pastoral. You know, we're not necessarily what we are in the beginning. It's just like we are when we're kids, you know. What are you going to be when you grow up? I want to be a fireman. Or a kid wants to be a dump truck. I want to do a garbage. That's what he sees every day, you know. Yeah, I want to work at Sonic. Your parents, hopefully your aspirations are going to get higher as you get older. But as you're faithful, you know, God wants you to be faithful with where your heart is. You know, whatever your passion is, be faithful with your passion and God will increase you. I'm serious. Be faithful. Amen. Let the enemy rob you of your passion. If it's for the Lord, do it. He'll pick up the pieces. He's okay. He'll fix the mess. I made a lot of messes in my early walk, but I was passionate for Jesus. Passionate. And I prayed, Lord, never let me lose that passion. He's just kind of matured a little bit. Although, you know, I really wish I have a big wooden cross. And we have it here at the church. And I used to love to take that thing to campuses and just drag it around with a wheel on the back, you know, and just preach the gospel to different people, just totally freak out. And it's been some years. The world has gotten unbelievably antichrist and carnal. I really need to do it again now. I mean, back then it was tame. Because the homosexuals are taking over our culture. The homosexuals, well, our culture is being homosexualized. I don't know if you know that. The sodomites are taking over our culture. And I really need to get that cross out there. In a nest of homosexuals, like a nest of snakes. Amen? And warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Can you imagine for trillions and trillions of years to the trillionth power, people will be agonizing where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched in hell, ever remembering that preacher who had the guts to tell them to flee from the wrath to come. Well, there's this crazy, totally off the wall, I think, demonized ministry, but they did say something right. It's called GodHatesFags.com. Go to GodHatesFags.com, and this is the guy that goes to all of the soldiers' funerals, and absolutely, you know, he believes 9/11 was of God to punish America for its sodomy. He believes World War II is good, that Americans are, he's really out. But you know what? I told somebody, what's so sad is the guy is speaking again. He's so off the wall. and so extreme and imbalanced. It's sad, though, because he's saying something that needs to be said. Our culture is sodomized. Well, one thing he said was interesting. They were picketing this famous homosexual that had been killed. He went to the funeral, and he was standing there, and he said this. He said, if that homosexual man, I forget his name, who was made a big hero in the homosexual community, if he was to come back from hell, he would be standing right next to me seeking to warn you. And I think he's right on about that. Because the Bible says that. Amen? If one of them came back from hell, I'm sorry, if Saddam was come back from hell tonight, suddenly he realized there ain't no 72 virgins. Or maybe, for all I know, the way the demons do it, when one of these suicide bombers kills themselves, for the first fleeting moments, they're all dressed like virgins. And then they get closer, and the virgin stuff, and the snarly, snaky teeth come out, and they pull down to a nest and a chained cell for all eternity. Folks, hell is not fun. And most people are going to hell. I'm of the opinion, I tend to believe with Howard Pittman, about 2.5 to 3% are going to make it to heaven today. Did you hear what I said? Two or three out of a hundred are going to make it to heaven today. I really believe those are legitimate statistics in this generation, not previous generations, this Antichrist generation. Yes, most people and most churches are going to hell because most people are full of iniquity. And he said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew. Most people are going to hell, but they're deceived. Here, I've got to throw my little... They're deceived by eternal security. They're deceived and believe because I have eternal event. Not eternal life, but eternal event. I had an event where I accepted Jesus as my personal savior, put that in my backpack, got fire insurance, got my flu shot. Now it doesn't matter where I go, I got a place in glory. And they're going to be sadly surprised because scripture is too clear. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice of sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And if a man died without mercy after two or three witnesses in the old covenant, how much more punishment shall he suffer to have that has trodden underfoot the Son of God and despised, or I read in one version, insulted the Spirit of grace? For it is written, God is a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Can I hear a man? Hebrews 10. I knew I'd get that in the sermon somewhere tonight. Folks, no gift is greater. Nobody has a better gift than anybody else. In fact, I don't care what your gifting is. If you're faithful with it, in the eyes of the Lord, the last will be first and the first will be last. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, I didn't come to be a leader, but a slave and a servant. And give my life a ransom. He says, I came to serve as a model. He washed the feet of these guys. He was trying to teach them. It's an upside down kingdom. You may say, he gets to preach, or different ones get to preach. It don't mean squat. Look, when I get up there, I'm going to be held accountable. He says, be not many teachers. You're going to be held accountable. Great accountability. Trust me, guys. You don't want the length of rope I have. That sucker, it's like a choke collar. Yeah, I'm not kidding. But you got your length, and when you stand before God, it don't matter who did what. Were you faithful with the talents I gave you? Matthew 25 and Luke 19. I gave you. What did you do with what I gave you? Your eternity will be based upon your faithfulness with what you did with what you had. And if you're faithful with that which is another man's, then God will give you that which is your own. Somebody wants to be raised up in the ministry? Be under ministry. I believe have inherited part of the anointing of Doug Westmoreland, my original pastor, who had a passionate, and the man I was attracted to and submitted to under his anointing. And I was faithful in that ministry, and I had one of the brothers North Houston see me on TV once. Says, Chris, you got Doug's anointing. But I was faithful with that which is another man. God gave me that which is my own. And the last place we're going to look, folks, the reward is 1 Corinthians 3:11. In conclusion, the reward is not quantity, it's quality. Again, I want to make that sure clear. We're talking about the motivational gifts, laying down the gifts. We'll be talking in the weeks to come so you can determine exactly what gifting, you know, maybe it falls in the category of who you are. But I want to be really clear. It doesn't matter. If Jesus has called you to be it, you just be what Jesus called you to be. If you try to be anything else, you're grieving the Lord. And you lose reward. Be a good hand. Be a good foot. Be a good ear. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay that's laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. King James reads sort, not size. He's not looking at the size, he's looking at the sort. He's not looking at the quantity, he's looking at the quality. Billy Graham will be held accountable for the gift he was given. So will Jerry Hollingsworth. So will Gene Barry. In the eyes of the Lord, nobody's different. The difference is Billy Graham has a higher level of accountability. But in the eyes of reward, were you faithful with the talents? Notice some people got more talents than others. Amen? That just meant they had more work to do. Don't boast yourself, Paul says. Don't vaunt yourself or lift yourself up. Be not wise in your own conceits. That just means you got more to be responsible for. You know, in the kingdom to come. You know the bottom line, folks, it's not so much in the end what you did, it's who you became. It's not so much what you did, it's who did you become. Because in doing faithfully with who you are, you become who he wants you to be. And you know, I was thinking the other day, if I die and go to heaven, and I say if, I trust I will. But if I die and go to heaven, I trust that God's going to accept me as I am. And I used to have this kind of poof factor notion. Well, I die, then there's a poof thing, and I'm different. I'm kind of more holy, more perfect, more whatever when I get there. And it's like the Lord dawned on me, no, you're exactly who you are. You slide right in, dude. And I thought, oh, that's why some can't get in. Because there's no poof factor. You die, who you are is who you're going to be. Whoa, that's scary. But Lord, I've not been faithful. Lord, I've been playing games. Lord, I've been tiddly-winking around and fiddly-faddling around. And if I die, you're right. He that's not faithful with a little. I mean, this life is the dressing room for eternity. This is where you got the roll of the dice forever. This is it. Are you being faithful with this? Yeah, we fiddly-faddle, we whatever, and then we die. Hey, if we're walking in righteousness and holiness and we love Jesus, and we come into the kingdom, but folks, you freeze when you die. I really believe that. There is no more reward after the grave. Why? Because there's no more tribulation. There's no more sorrow. That's how we grow. So the bottom line is, to the degree that you're faithful, to that degree, God will entrust you more. And that's really the key tonight in giftings. God really wants us to come in the office giftings. I think the heart of the Lord is to raise up pastoral, evangelical, prophetic in this place, even apostolic. He wants to do it. My job is to equip and train. But you know what? Your job is to be faithful with what God's given you. Whatever your role is, be faithful to Jesus. And whatever you do in the Lord, do heartily into the Lord. And God will reward you. Psalm 75, he says, he puts down one and he promotes another. God promotes. God anoints. Man may appoint, but God anoints. Did y'all get the message tonight? Let's pray. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's pray, y'all. Lord, what I pray more than anything else tonight, you would convict us of two things. One, you'd show us where we have been less than faithful with those giftings, abilities, talents, personality, passions that you've given us. We've squandered them for me, mine. And number two, I pray in your mercy you would encourage us and show us, Lord, things to come. Reveal to us what we can be, what you've created us for, Lord. Give us a hope and a calling. Lord, give us a vision, a passion to press to the mark of the prize of the high calling, to fulfill what you've called us to, our destiny. Lord, we wouldn't be fools, but wise. Fulfill our destiny in this earth, Jesus. When you come back, Lord, you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come, Holy Spirit now, bring conviction. Convict our spirits and our hearts. We'd be good stewards and faithful. Whether it's someone who's young in the Lord here or known him for decades, Lord, we're all responsible for what you've given us. The light, the truth. Come, Holy Spirit, conviction, bring conviction. And just respond to the Spirit, folks. If the Lord has convicted you tonight and you recognize that you failed him or you've been less than faithful, just say, Jesus, forgive me. That's all you got to do, man. Just be honest. Say, Lord, forgive me. Been dragging my butt. Been biding my time. Been preoccupied and distracted. Lord, forgive me, Jesus. Just tell him you're willing, you want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I promise you, he'll provide all those other things. He'll come behind you with abundant provision. Just humble yourself to Jesus tonight. That's the purpose of the preaching of the word. To convict us, to humble ourselves, so the Spirit of God can change our heart. We can grow. Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray in your mercy right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I make request that to whatever degree you wish in each life in this room, you would loosen a revelation, a quickening, an understanding, a glimpse, a goal of who you've called us, intended us to be, Lord. I know early in my life, in my walk, God gave me visions and clear perspectives of one day what I would be doing. I couldn't fathom it, but it gave me the wherewithal to keep being faithful. Lord, in your mercy, those that have that need, come. Lord, that those that are struggling because of the world, the flesh and the devil, the snakes and the tinsel and the tarnish and the cheapness of the world is trying to entice. Lord, give us a revelation of the glory of the crucified fulfillment of our calling for eternity. Oh, shtikandadama, Jesus. Jesus. Come, Holy Ghost. Reveal. Now or in dreams, perspective, we would see, Lord Jesus. Shotolokiandadamas. Jesus. Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you. You're so merciful.